حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. Laylatul Qadr is worth more than 1,000 months. That is equal to 83.3 years. A whole lifetime, a long lifetime. And the attraction of Laylatul Qadr, even without doing any prayers, without the fact that we will do a'mal and make du'as, and ask for hajat and our needs. Even other than that, just the fact that our taqdeer, our destiny, our fate is decided on that night for the upcoming year is enough to make us stay awake and to make us be at the door of Allah's house. When you know that it is Allah who's deciding your destiny and your fate, and that your fate is decided by Allah, then you will not sit at home. You will come to His house and you will make your case for yourself in His house in order that goodness, righteousness, blessings, tawfiq can be written in your destiny in the upcoming year. Just that much is enough to bring us here. Without doing any amal, without doing any hajat. And I will speak about this amal and hajat as we understand what this means to us. Allah brought us to Laylatul Qadr, knowing that our taqdeer and destiny is decided that night. Such an important night, such a great night. He brought us to this night and He left us alone there. He said, I bring you here and now you are free to ask for what you want, to do what you want. I am leaving you free. You have the freedom to do what you want. See, Laylatul Qadr is not like Salat or prayer or Namaz. Laylatul Qadr is not like that. In prayer, everything we do is what we are told to do by Allah. You stand up and say Allahu Akbar Takbiratul Ihram in this way. Recite Suratul Hamd, whether aloud or silent, it's noted down for us. In this prayer, read it loudly. In this prayer, read it silently. Or ruku, make ruku. The way Allah wants us to bend down this much, this is where your hand should be, this is where your eye should be. So, and then after that, sajda. This is how many parts of your body must touch the ground. The other part should not touch the ground. This is the posture you should be in. So you see, every aspect of prayer is being told by Allah, and we are just following whatever Allah wants us to say or do. But in Laylatul Qadr, it's different. Allah brings us to this night and He says, now you're free. Go ahead, what do you want to do? Such a major event, your whole destiny is being decided, your fate is being decided. So Allah is saying, now go ahead, you do what you want. Do what you want, I'm not going to tell you, you do what you want. You speak what you want. You see, like if someone has been to Hajj, when you go for Hajj, you see, you're just told the wajibat of Hajj is what? Right? Wukuf bil Arafat. Staying at Arafat is wajib in Hajj. Allah, He takes you to Arafat. What is Arafat? The fadilat, the merit of Arafat is told to us that in the ground of Arafat, what should be, what is this Arafat? Your du'as are answered, your hajat are answered, you are the guest of Allah, and all these things. But Allah, you asked us to stay there the whole day. The whole day you stay in Arafat. But you see, in Arafat, when we reach there, Allah brings us as a guest to this important and great location, and then He says, now you're free to do what you want. You're free to do what you want. Go ahead, what do you want to do? You want to make dua? You want to ask Allah? You want to talk to me? I made you my guest so that if there's any informality, it's taken away from us so that you can freely talk. You are free to talk now. You are my guest now. You see, if we met outside on the street somewhere, maybe you will feel formal. And maybe you will hesitate to talk openly. Right? For example, if you and me, we meet at the grocery store. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Are you Muslim? Yes, I am. Oh, alhamdulillah, how are you doing? Where are you from, Baba? But you'll see that you'll just say a little bit. You won't just open up, say that, hey, listen, you know what? My life is this. This is what's happening in my life. I don't know this guy. I don't know him. You'll feel awkward to say things openly, right? To me. You'll feel strange. Listen, he's a stranger. I can't just speak to him like that. But if I invite you home, hey, listen, why don't you have dinner with me? Bring your wife and children along. Now when you come to my house as a guest, now you feel more comfortable. Now you feel like at home. Now you can open up. You see, when you invite someone to your house, then they feel freer to open up. They got that freedom now and the allowance that they can become closer to you. Allah brings you to Arafat as a guest so that that formality can be taken away. So now you are informal here, you are my guest. Go ahead, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to talk about? You see how Allah is doing this. And then when we reach Arafat, then Hajis, the Hujjaj, they come to me and say, so Morana, what should we do in Arafat? Arafat, nothing, you know, you're free. Go ahead, you're the guest of Allah. Speak to Him, talk to Him. But what should we say? Huh? You know, say something, you know, go ahead. No, is there a dua we want to make dua? No, but is there any dua we should recite here? I said, no. Just go ahead, make dua. You see, many people, even with that chance that they have, let alone outside, even in Arafat, they are not able to speak with their Creator. They are not able to talk with their Master. They need a dua. They say, how about dua Arafat of Imam Hussein? Yes, you can read that. So they read dua Arafat because we gave it to them. It's been given to them. But if they didn't have dua Arafat, they wouldn't know how to talk to Allah. What do you do there? Let's say there's no dua Arafat. Don't recite dua Arafat. Imam Hussein recited dua Arafat there. That was his talk with Allah. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam recited dua Arafat. That was his communication with Allah. Allah has brought you here to see what. How are you going to communicate with me? You are my guest now. Communicate. Talk with me. Go ahead. Talk. My friends, we are so far away from Allah that we don't know how to talk to Him. We are so far away from Him. We are so distant from Him that we don't know what to say to Him. We don't know how to communicate with Him. If people don't have Dua Arafat, they don't know what to do in Arafat. They don't know what to do. You see, this, my friends, is what Allah wants us to understand. He says, I'm bringing you here and I'm giving you the freedom. Now speak. What do you want to say to me? What do you want to tell me? And we are like silent. We don't know what to say. What do we say? You know, okay, what's mustahab to say here? What dua should we say? Mama, don't worry about the duas. You are with Allah now. You are with your master now. You are His guest. Say it. Say what you want. What is in your heart? Say it. Don't you know Him? You have been praying to Him. You believed in Him for all your life. What were those prayers for? What kind of a belief that you have that when He brings you home as a guest, you can't even speak to Him? Subhanallah. You see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, what does Allah want to teach us? He's saying that, why can't you talk to me? Why are you feeling ashamed to talk to me? Am I not close to you? Am I too distant from you? Have I ever shown myself as a stranger to you? Have I ever shown myself as someone that you can't trust? Why can't you open up to me? This is why He leaves us free. This is why He leaves us free. He says, now I want to see you. In Laylatul Qadr, this is what Allah is doing. There's nothing that's there. You know, say, for example, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this. No, these are all things that have been done by ulama. They have advised us to do it, this and that. In Laylatul Qadr, what is mustahab is that you are in that place where your destiny is being made and Allah is giving you the opportunity that now come to me and talk to me. Say what you want. Tell me. What is it in your mind? What is it in your heart? Tell me. Tell me what you have. What do you want? My friends, we make the mistake of wanting some manasik, some rituals to do. If you don't put the Quran on your head on Laylatul Qadr, the skies is not going to fall on your head. There's nothing wrong that's going to happen. If you don't do the amal of looking at the Quran, it's not going to make your Laylatul Qadr batil. The question is, why do you need that to talk to Allah? Why can't you talk to Him yourself? Why can't we speak to Him ourselves? This is the question. Because there are people who talk to Allah. You will see some people, you will see them that when they are given the chance, they are just completely engrossed in talking with Allah, pouring their hearts to Allah and saying, Allah, this is who I am, this is what I am, Allah, this, da, 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 this, that. All that shows is what kind of a relationship they have with Allah. What is your meaning that Allah is so intimate to you that you can just open up like that? He's such a close friend to you that you can just say whatever you want in your mind, just like that, without any hesitation. What am I saying? He might mind, he might get offended, he might be this. But you think about these things when you don't know someone, when you don't trust someone, you don't trust their reaction. When has Allah ever been gharibe for us? When has Allah been gharib for us, that He's a stranger for us, we don't know Him? My friends, our relationship, this is how Allah is letting you free in Laylatul Qadr, and He's saying that now do, speak to me. Friends, this is what we should use to speak with Allah and say that, Allah, I'm here to speak with you, I'm here to say things to you. This is what I want to say to you. Open my heart up. My friends, this is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, you know, I mean, there's no, like for example, prayer, do this first, do this second, do this third, do this fourth. There's nothing like that. Our imams have made du'as. People have asked the imams that what should we say on Laylatul Qadr because we don't know what to say. Well, you should have known what to say. Aren't you close to Allah? But Ahlul Bayt have given us something, so we read those things. Alhamdulillah, we read those things. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good to read those things because Ahlul Bayt have advised us to do it. But what are you saying with Allah? This is the question that needs to be asked in Laylatul Qadr. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the most important things in Laylatul Qadr that we should be doing, I mentioned this before, is doing tawbah, repentance. And I said that Laylatul Qadr, you're standing between your past and your future. It is your fiscal year. You know, when it ends, your new year ends. So now you have your past year behind you to look at it and to see what happens in the future. You look at it. Right? Allah wanted us to have that time and more time to think and more time to repent. That's why Allah did not make Laylatul Qadr what night it is clear for us. Laylatul Qadr is not clear. Which night is it? It's not clearly said that this is the night. It could be any night of Ramadan. Some hadith says it could be the last 10 days. There's some hadith that we have from Ahlul Bayt that point to the 19th, 21st and 23rd. Some say 21st and 23rd. Like even all of this. And in the Islamic year, we really don't know what exactly is the day of our new year. The reason for that, Allah knew that if He said one day, then everyone will just celebrate that one night, finished. Everyone will just go there, one night they'll celebrate. Allah wanted us to celebrate more. This is in a new year, right? Celebrate more. Just imagine, my friend, just imagine. If it was decided by everyone here in America that, listen, we will have three New Year's Eve. Right? Three New Year's Eve on the 1st, 2nd and the 3rd of January. Three New Year's Eve. Imagine three nights of partying. Who won't like that? Who won't like that? Three nights where you're enjoying your New Year. Who won't like that? Everyone would like it, right? They'll all enjoy it. They'll all be for it. Allah is saying that, listen, I'm giving you three New Years. And then all three nights I'm giving you chances to write your destiny. But there's a hadith I want to share with you so that you know what these nights are for. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. He had was asked, and he explained this and why these three nights. They asked him, what is the significance of these nights, Laylatul Qadr, right? And I want you to understand this very well. He said, the night of the 19th, being the eve of the 19th, Allah has made that night the night when your destinies are decided. Your fate, your taqdeer is decided on the 19th. So when you come on the eve of the 19th, it's being written down that this is it, this is what he's getting, this is what he's getting, this is what he's getting. Then on the 21st, on the 21st night, those destinies that are written on the 19th, on the 21st, Allah is giving the order to execute it. Allah is giving the order that execute this, what has been written down for him. And on the 23rd, your destinies are being put into force, meaning imza. Allah is signing them into law. It's a three-step process. First, they are decided. Second, they are executed, they are ordered. Third, they are put into law. Each of these three nights are specific for one of them. The 19th is the night in which your destiny is being written. 21st is the night in which your destiny is being ordered. The order, the hukum is being given for your destiny. And the 23rd is the night where imza is being done and it's signed into law. Three nights. So if you come on the 19th, when your destiny is being written down, then alhamdulillah, you are a part of that writing. You're writing your future. If you come on the 21st, then they see, are you there on 21st? Absent or present? Present, sir. Okay, good. It's, you know, ordered. He's here, order it to be done. Then you come on the 23rd, again, attendance is taken. Are you here or not? Yes, sir, I'm here, present. Okay, good. Now we can sign his destiny into law. Now it is going into effect. So now if someone comes on the 19th, they write it down, but they don't come on the 21st, they're not there for the order. So the order is not given. If they don't come for the 23rd, then their destiny is not put into force. Something else will come other than what they wrote down for themselves. Don't be surprised. You see, there's a reason. Three nights we do that. Why? It's not that, okay, you know, any of these three nights will last one night. No. We have to be there all three nights in order that every part of the process we are present so that we can make sure that what we have written down and what we have asked from Allah has been put into effect and into law. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So what I want to speak about in the last 10 minutes is about one concept, my friends, and that is tawbah. As I said, you know, when we look at our past, then the important thing about our past is to do tawbah. Is to do tawbah. Just one aspect of tawbah I will speak to you about, so that when we make tawbah, inshallah we do it with ma'rifat, with understanding and with recognition. So that you know what tawbah is. My friends, the basis of tawbah, the basis, the foundation of tawbah, one of the foundations, and an important foundation. An important foundation of tawbah is khawf, is fear. Khawf is a foundation of tawbah. When you don't have khawf, when you don't have fear of Allah, then you cannot do tawbah. There is no tawbah without the fear. Tawbah is an outcome of fear. Tawbah is an outcome of fear. When you fear Allah, then a person repents to Allah. If there is no fear of Allah, then there cannot be tawbah. And this fear is what I want you to understand today. What is the fear of Allah? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. People are afraid of many things. We see that. And when they feel fear. Now, what I'm saying right now is a little bit subtle. So I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. So you can understand what I'm saying. It might be a little bit deep, but I want you to pay attention so that you understand what fear and the outcome of fear is. Many people fear things. We fear a lot of things. Some people fear the dark. Some people fear death. Some people fear loss of wealth. You know, some people fear poverty. Many people have fears in life. And when they feel this fear, what they feel with fear is the fact that they become anxious, nervous, there's anxiety. So they feel that the product of fear is anxiety. The product of fear is nervousness. And hence, whenever you speak about fear to them, then Fear, they think, brings about nervousness, brings about anxiety, brings about an unfocused mind. Because when you are anxious, when you are nervous, you see your mind is unable to focus. It's unable to stand still. There's no firmness. There's no steadiness. This is how people, when they hear about fear, they think that. But I want you to understand something very well here. Khawf brings about anxiety, brings about nervousness, and what they think is true. What they think is true. It is true. It brings about anxiety. Have you been afraid of something, an accident? You know, for example, you're driving down the highway and, you know, a car just swerves by you and you have to swerve in order to miss that car, and your heart is beating, your pulse is racing, you're sweating, you're nervous. This is a result of fear, my friends. This is a fear. So now, when we say fear Allah, then they think that the result of fearing Allah will be nervousness. The result of fearing Allah will be anxiety. The result of fearing God will be the fact that we will lose our focus. But understand that this principle, I want you to understand, that the fear of Allah brings about focus. Fear of Allah makes a person steady, makes a person firm, unlike every other fear. That's why Allah says, fear me. Because when you fear me, then your mind will be focused, your feet will be firm, your heart will be steady. It brings about tamarkoz. It brings about karrar, that you become karrar, ghayr farrar. And when the fear of ma dun Allah, whatever other than Allah is there, then yes, in that sense, you see that your fear will bring about your mind to be unfocused. So there are two types of fear. One is the fear of Allah. One is the fear of everything else other than Allah. Now in Allah, what do you fear? What do you fear in Allah? There's a hadith that says, a dua. That says, Ya man la yakhafu illa adlo. Allah, what needs to be feared in you is your justice. What needs to be feared in you is your adl, your justice. Allah, I should be afraid of your justice. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm not afraid of your wrath or your anger, but of your justice. That's what I'm afraid of. When I understand what I should be afraid of in Allah, I'm afraid of your justice. And there's a difference, my friends. And I want you to know this difference. When we fear Allah, it's different than when we fear anything else. And there's a reason behind it. And from here, you will understand why the difference is in the effect. When you fear Allah, the effect is different. When you fear something else, the effect is different. Let me explain that if you send me a loud salawat. You see, when you fear everything else other than Allah, you're forced to fear it. There's a force. You fear an accident, it's forcing you to have fear. The fear of death is forcing you to have fear. The fear of harm and hurting yourself, that it's a force on you, it's compelling you to fear. It's compelling you to be afraid of it. Do you understand that? There's jabr here when you fear anything else but Allah. Anything else that you fear, there's jabr there and it's forcing you to have fear. Your fear is because of compulsion. Your fear is because it's forcing you to fear it because of harm. But when it comes to Allah, there is no force, there is no compulsion. Allah didn't come to you with a stick and say, "Fear me." Allah did beat you up if you did not pray. Allah did not hurt you if you did not obey. Allah has always been kind to you. Allah has always been good to you. Allah has always been compassionate to you. So now when you fear Allah, it is not out of compulsion. Allah's fear is the only fear that is not out of compulsion. Every other fear is out of compulsion. So Allah, if I am afraid of you, it's not because you're holding a stick on my head. It's not because you have hurt me. It's not because you have been bad to me. It's not because you have been wrong to me. The reason I'm afraid of you is not because of the fact that you have been unjust to me. I am afraid for a different reason. And if I'm not afraid of you, it's because, not because of compulsion. My friends, the only reason a person does not fear Allah is because he's shameless. He doesn't have haya or ghairat. He's bihaya. A bihaya person is someone who doesn't fear Allah. Allah, the only reason I'm not afraid of you is because I don't have haya in me. I don't have ghairat in me. Why? The reason I'm afraid of accident is because it's going to harm me. That's why. That's why. That's the reason why. Reason I'm afraid of a knife or a criminal is because he's going to do something wrong to me. The reason I'm afraid of a zalim is because he's going to do zulm to me. But Allah, when I see you, you don't do any of these things. So if I am not afraid of you, it's because I am so bihaya, I am so shameless that I do not have fear of you who have done nothing wrong to me. This, my friends, is the reason. If a person has haya, he will be afraid of Allah. He will be fearing Allah. This is what it is, my friends. He will be afraid of Allah. Inshallah, I wanted to say other things, but since the time, you know, we have is up right now, but inshallah, tomorrow I will go on from here to speak about some other things that we want to speak about. But when someone has fear, then they will do tawbah. Then they will have the quality of tawbah and repentance in them when they fear Allah. If you don't fear Allah, my friends, this usul Ahlul Bayt have given us to us, and Allah has given it to us. Basic principle of Islam. And remember this and put it in your mind and your hearts. Brothers, if you fear Allah, then you will never fear anything else in life. If you fear Allah, you will never fear anything else in life. And if you do not fear Allah, you will be afraid of everything in life. You will be afraid of everything in life. Everything will make you afraid. If you want to be a person who's not afraid of anything, then start to learn how to fear Allah. Tomorrow I will explain a little bit more so that we can understand this and inshallah make ourselves do true tawbah in Laylatul Qadr. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Wisdom to understand His guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us His helper when He comes. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala.